Hey, hey, all you Arizona lovers. This is the Finding Arizona podcast, episode number 136. I'm your host, Jose. Thank you so much for listening. Today, we have in the owner of Iron and Oak. His name is Dan Baker. He actually comes through our friends over at Prickly Pear Paper, Mark and Lauren. Had so much fun talking with this artist. It was a lot of deep dives on if you're doing something that you think you should be starting a business in, you should probably be doing it. So it was a lot of fun just kind of seeing someone progress into what they're meant for, actually. So I appreciate him stopping by. Check out all his stuff on his website. And we'll say this, go check us out at findingarizonapodcast.com if you're not already listening to this on the website. If you are on a subscription service, please like and subscribe to us. It helps us get better. Helps us get more information from you guys on what you want to hear. So please do everything that you can to make everyone know about this podcast. It means a lot to me. We try very hard to make sure that you guys have a cornucopia of different people, different businesses in this podcast. Thank you very much to anyone who has dropped us a line at findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com where you can be a part of this podcast if you want to just jump in and say, hey, I have a thing. Let's talk about it. I appreciate that. And you can find us at Finding Arizona Podcast under all our social media handles, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We make it easy for you to communicate to us. It would mean a lot because today we are actually heading down to Tucson to record two episodes. And Brittany and I would really appreciate it if you checked out patreon.com/Finding Arizona Podcast, where you will receive extra content. And we have actually been working on a cool little side game, another podcast, where we ask 50 questions of every person who comes in here. They're rapid fire, or at least try to be rapid fire. So that will be exclusively on our Patreon account. And I call that the fine examination of Finding Arizona Podcast. So appreciate all of you. Go check out that extra content. And on top of that, you get early access depending on where you land on the tiers. There's cool merch over there. We have merchandise on our store. So if you want to be a part and help us get better, this all goes towards the podcast. It is at our store. And again, this is all just something that we've put together slowly over the years. And I think it's going to be only better. We just had Corey Miller in here. He's a graphic designer, and hopefully we get to do some cool stuff with him. We've got some really cool fashion designers that we're going to be interviewing down in Tucson. Just overall, we've been having so much fun with the people coming in here, friends, people who are close to our friends. It's just a really good time, and hopefully it'll only get better. And that is going to lead us into our community corkboard. Nothing really much to say as far as the community corkboard part. Just be on the lookout for my good friend Eric at Tap That AZ Podcast. He did an episode where we were co-hosting. Be on the lookout for that episode. We will post that as soon as that comes out. But we are also trying to get together every podcast around Arizona that wants to be a part of a group. So we're going to be sending out invitations to hopefully a gathering. So be on the lookout for that. If you have a Finding Arizona, or if you have an Arizona podcast, you can reach me again at findingarizonapodcast@gmail.com. And with that, we say thank you to all of you for listening to this intro. And we go right into the episode, episode number 136, Iron and Oak. Let's do this. Okay, now we're back. Welcome back to the Finding Arizona podcast. I'm your host, Jose. Today, like no other day, we have a very special guest, a pair of owners. And today they are going to introduce themselves to you. And the owners are from Iron and Oak. Welcome, guys. Thank you so much for coming.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having us. We're excited.
Yes. So introduce yourself individually again, please.
I am Dan Baker, and I am the owner maker of Iron and Oak. So everything that gets produced is usually coming from me. So
yes. And I'm Angela. I am Dan's wife, and I I do all the background stuff.
The finishing.
She makes it run.
She makes it go around. That's always good. Again, guys, thank you so much for, we just did our very first episode of what I'm calling like these examination questions, just like quick rapid fire. It hopefully gets you guys to, you know, learn a little bit more about you guys, like the fun facts, like the fun little tidbits. Mm-hmm. And then now we go into the actual in-depth part where we peel back the layers. We talk to you guys a little bit more in depth. So one of the first kickoff questions I always ask everyone is, you know, tell us about your business, how you got started first off. Like, where does one do woodworking out of all the things in their lives? How does one end up like this?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, it kind of got started. We had gotten married and, you know, my family all comes from working with their hands. My dad's a fabricator and welder. Mm-hmm. My grandfathers were all construction workers, sheet metal workers, you know, mechanics, gunsmiths, different, you know, a long line of people working with their hands. And I was the first person to actually go to college and get a degree. And it was, you know, it was kind of odd to me. I was like, man, I have all this like in my blood to work with my hands. I have this, you know, jitteriness that I want to work with my hands, but I don't know what I want to do.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily want to do woodwork, like metalworking, like my dad does and things like that, but it might be cool someday. And we were married and we were trying to find like a piece of like outdoor furniture or something. And we just were like having a really hard time finding something that we liked or that we wanted. And everything was like, man, everything's so expensive too. Why is it like that? Yeah. And then I said to her, I said, I think I could probably make it. And
she's okay.
Like, okay, good luck. And And so her grandfather actually is a woodworker by trade and by hobby. And he, I called him up and said, hey, if I wanted to build, you know, a bench or a picnic table or something, would you help me do it? And he said, oh, absolutely. I would love to.
Nice.
And so.
How long into the you guys being married
that was? Pretty short. Probably.
It was definitely less than a year.
It was maybe 6 months maybe six or so. Months yeah. Or so.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm.
And I'd called him and he said, okay, let's do it. So he took me out and he starts showing me like how to pick out wood and like how to use, you know, tools. And so we would, you know, and then I'd worked in his garage and we built out this, picnic table and it came out awesome. And I was just like, whoa, this was really cool. And then, we had some people kind of see it and they were really interested. And we had a lot of people asking about whether or not we'd be interested in, you know, like doing more of them or how much we would charge. And we're like, I don't know, I just did it for fun. And we just kind of started talking about it. And I was kind of, you know, I do digital marketing as kind of my, you know, main job and things like that. And I enjoy it.
That's why your logo is so, so sweet, isn't it?
Well, you can thank Mark and Lauren from Prickly Pear for that as well.
That's designed super dope.
Yeah, he's the man.
Way to go, Mark. Yeah, so. Mark's a skilled. Yeah, that makes more sense now. He's dope.
Yeah. And so we at that time I was trying to get the business going and we saw Barn One open or Barn None, whatever you call it, because we live out in Gilbert. And we
always had that argument with
him. Yeah, I know. And they said, whatever you want.
Whatever you want to call it. I've put him on the spot. He's like, it's officially called Bar One.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
now we know.
Yeah, whatever you put it. Yeah, because they try to be ambiguous with it. But we went in there, we were talking to them, and he's like, and they said, oh, we do, you know, like logo work or branding and things. And I was like, what? Okay, this is, and we just got in the car and said, well, this would be our opportunity to do it. We've been talking about getting the LLC going and doing all this. I've been, I've been building stuff and I'm enjoying it. I want to get this moving. And so we decided to jump and we got everything going from there. And it's kind of been off to the races since then. So that was kind of how we got our start, you know, and, you know, the big proponent was her grandfather, just showing me and teaching me. I mean, I'm his biggest mentor for sure. He's my biggest mentor and I'm so, you know, glad and excited and lucky that he came into my life and I've gotten to learn those because he's so skilled. I mean, he's in his 80s and he's still kicking and doing awesome stuff. And he helps me with stuff from time to time when I run into things and get stumped. And just having that resource is unbelievable. And, you know, I get a lot of people who are like, you do woodworking? Like, you're not retired yet? And it's like, no, it's not for, you know, it's not to be old.
I've seen a couple of, because I watch the YouTube and I watch a couple of guys who do really specific woodworking. And it's like, it's super cool. I can't wait to like have a little back section and just start doing some wood stuff.
And that's the thing around. That I think is so awesome is, you know, it's kind of what got my mindset thinking about Iron Oak was a lot of people really like, you know, custom furniture and things like that, but it can be really, really expensive. And I kind of thought to myself, I wonder if there's some way that I'll be able to do that for people and I can make custom furniture for them, but have it not cost an arm and a leg, have it not be, you know, it's like, hey, you want an island and it's $10,000 or you want, you know, you want a table and it's, you know, $20,000 for a dining room table. And I was like, there's gotta be a better way to do that. And that's kind of what I started doing. So I would, you know, I try to work with different types of materials, maybe materials that are a little bit less thought of as the types of furniture materials and things like that, and you know, get that to a place. But the stuff that we, you know, that we create is still looks beautiful and it's awesome.
Absolutely.
And you'd never know, but it's just that, you know, finding that way so that, you know, the person who isn't a millionaire can come in and get that work done and have, you know, something beautiful and an heirloom that they can have forever, that's going to last forever, but is also their vision and what they want. So that's kind of what that has turned into. And that's what I always think about whenever I'm doing stuff is, you know, yeah, we can build it super expensive or we can build it, you know, really, really inexpensive and we'll go from there. And it all depend on what, you know, where you're at.
That's awesome that you get to work with that kind of like variety. And we're going to get into this. How did you guys meet? Because you're from New York and he's from here. How did you guys end up meeting like this?
Well, we moved to Arizona when I was really young. Okay. So I was born in New York, but I was raised in Arizona.
Okay.
But we actually went to the same high school, but we didn't know each other at the time. We actually met at Chandler Gilbert Community College.
Yeah, really?
And so we had a class together.
That's very interesting.
I don't know. He saw me one day after class and we just started talking and that was...
Yeah, we had geology together and
it was 7 in the morning. I'm surprised that we were awake for that early.
Yeah, I've had that class before. Yeah. Like, I've told this one. I don't think I've told this one on the podcast. I didn't do well on one of like the geology course. So I had to take like the summer to make it up. And I had thought, I was like, oh, I saw this one. It's like, oh, it's early, but it's like supposed to be right next to my house. I'm right next to GCC, Glendale Community College.
Yeah. Okay.
My parents are there. And I was like, oh, I'll just drive down the street. It'll be fine. I'll wake up early. It'll just be the morning. I'll come home, sleep during the summer. No, this thing is like North GCC. I didn't read this right. It's like the other side of the North 101. I'm like, oh, you have to drive every morning like a half hour to like go to this weird campus and like wake up and like have to pay attention to this course. It was the worst. But I got an A, so there you go.
That's perfect, yeah.
Well, and that was part of it. I don't know. I guess I wasn't paying attention because we would study for the test and for the finals. And then he would pretend to not know, you know, so he could call me. He's like, hey, did you get the questions for the study guide?
Smooth.
You know, and we'd talk on the phone and I would think he's helping. And actually my answers were all wrong. And I didn't do very well on the final and he got an A. And I was like, how does that happen? He was like, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. I was like, oh my gosh.
That's the sweetest. And what made you like pop the question or like what asked? How did you ask for the first date? I want to know this part.
It was after finals.
Yeah, it was after finals. I think I just, the class was so early and we got out and we had already been talking and kind of like hanging out a little bit. And I just was like, you want to go to breakfast? And she's like, yeah, let's do it. So
nice.
We went to breakfast.
Smooth, and double smooth.
Yeah.
So that's how I played it. So I'm trying to play it cool, you know.
Nice. Oh, that's cool. I like that. I like that story. Like, that's kind of how we met. We met at work and we kind of just hung out for a little bit during lunchtime and then it all went from there.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's always smooth. It's always easy. Easier.
It was so easy. I mean, that's how you know that's someone you should be with.
Yeah.
Whenever it's easy, it's not difficult. You're not having to force it or anything like that. It was like we'd known each other for a very long time already, and we'd only known each other, you know, maybe a couple of months. So it was very, very cool. So
yeah. So let me ask, who does, because I know from a business standpoint, like who does the managerial, like all the billings and the taxing stuff? Because that's always been my not strong suit. That's because I can numbers crunched up together just make my head go.
Definitely. And I think that was at least for me, that's what I would stress about. Like, oh my gosh, taxes and bills and what do we do and how do we do it? And I felt like we did a lot of research, but we do a lot of it together. But as far as like managing the books, I always make sure like the first of the month I'm looking at everything and just kind of seeing. And it's nice because we don't have, you know, we are still pretty small. So it's easy to see, you know, I can just open things up and kind of see where we're at. It's not anything too complicated. So just kind of doing that once a month. And but we're always talking about what we're doing and what projects we have going on, what we have coming up as far as shows or, you know, customers or anything like that.
We're always keeping each other aware. And she'll reach out because she does, she handles like all the social media and stuff. So whenever anyone reaches out via that model, obviously, that she'll talk to me about and say, hey, this happened. What do you want to do about it? Or, you know, I handle the emails and things like that, or, you know, having all the conversations about everything. But yeah, she does everything with the books and stuff. And then at the end of the year, we just, you know, take our stuff to us, to our accountant and have them
hope for the best.
Good luck.
Cross your fingers. So, good luck with all of this.
Yeah.
I'm curious too, because now that we're talking about it, you know, you guys have to go back and forth. Communication is key. And another aspect of this is that you guys are married. You guys live together. You guys are doing the married life. How do you guys find balance in the two roles, especially being so tied to this business? Because I'll find myself talking to her like randomly about the podcast, like while we're taking a shower or something, like, you know, brushing teeth, things like that, where it's just like, it's those moments where you like, you know, you have to really put yourself, are we, you know, how do you balance that business partner, husband, marriage relationship?
Yeah, I feel like, well, one of the nice things about, you know, we both have other jobs, but we work close enough, so we carpool.
Okay.
So a lot of times we do talk about a lot of the stuff going on with the business on our way to work or on the way home from work. Okay. Or even, you know, when we come home, we're making dinner. We always eat dinner, you know, together at the kitchen table. And so I feel like that is when we have a lot of the conversation, or, oh, we have this going on. We have to make sure we get the materials for this project.
Yeah.
And so we kind of set it up. But we always, you know, and like you said, of course, that random, you know, you're in the shower or you're, you know, doing something in passing. You think, oh, this happened today. But I feel like most of the conversation is in the car when we're carpooling from our other jobs, just because it really sets aside like 30 to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's usually when we do.
So like you, I mean, routinely you guys have already set up that, like, those, that time needed for communication, you just automatically, it's filled into your day because you guys are carpooling together.
Yeah.
That and makes it adds that extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. That way, if we're not, you know, we're not driving separate. So it just adds that extra time that we,
yeah, we usually do that in that time, and that's perfect. Or just, I'm kind of random. So, like, if something pops into my head, I have to get it out immediately. Mm. And so I'll just, if something like that, if I think of something, I'm like, hey, by the way, this, I know we're not talking about it, but I just you have to know. So that
my brain works like that. It's like, I came up with this cool idea. She's like, what? That has nothing to do with what we need to take care of.
Yeah. And then usually, like, later, then it's like, oh, well, did you take care of that? You know, you mentioned this. Did you follow, you know?
Yeah.
And it's almost like a mental checklist. Yeah. So I feel like I never forget anything when it comes to
the mental checklist part.
She always takes care of it. Because, I can be really, like, I'll be like, oh, we should, and then, and, you know, the next day she's like, did you do that? I'm like, no, I got it. I'll be
like, nope. A lot of no's in those. So that's really fantastic. You guys are just like, just a normal couple that's like doing the thing and then having this as a really cool. How did you guys end up meeting Mark and Lauren, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. Well, when Bar None opened, did we decide it was Bar None?
I don't, whatever we're calling it.
Yeah, we're calling it.
Bar None opened.
So he needs to add like a dash or like a space. And I know he did it on purpose.
Yes.
Yeah. The whole family did it on purpose. Yeah. But it was, I think it's needed. Yeah. There's too much debate.
There is. But when they opened, we heard of all the cool things that were going in there.
Yeah.
And we wanted to check everything out. Lettercraft, the flowers,
there was
Uprooted Kitchen, just everything there. We wanted to check it out. And we saw Prickly Pear and we thought, oh my gosh, this is the cutest store we've ever seen. All their cards and everything. And we ended up talking to Mark and Lauren. And they said that they do invitations, they do logos, and it was right around that time where we just filed
The LLC.
So it really was perfect timing. Mm-hmm. And I think you got their email
Yeah.
You know, it started off as more of like a business transaction.
Yeah.
And then, but we would go up there constantly for cards, birthday cards, graduation cards, for sure. anything like that. And we just found ourselves just talking to them every single time we went in. And so now...
Yeah, we would just be in there and we'd be talking to them and we'd end up in there forever. We're going to buy one card. And that was the big thing. Like it was right next, Barnum was right next to our house. We thought it was really cool. We try really, really hard to buy locally if we can in almost anything that we do. So if we're buying cards, we'll go there and their cards are awesome. So they're worth it. And, you know, they're locally made and it's just, it's so awesome. So, you know, to kind of counteract that. And we would just, every time we're in there, it's like we're in there longer and longer talking to them more and more. And just because if, you know, if you ever meet them, you find out like how sweet they are and how nice they are.
Oh,
and
they're the best.
Easy to talk to. It's like you've known them forever.
We've had dinner with them. It's like they're best, like they're really just fantastic people.
Mm-hmm. They are awesome. They are. And that's kind of how that all flourished from there. And they, and you know, I had come to Mark and said, I have this business. I want you to do the branding. And he was like, okay, yeah, perfect. And I, you know, I was not his first or anything with Prickly Pear, but I was, you know, towards the top of the, you know, first maybe dozen or so people that he did branding for. And he just, I just kind of let him have, he said, hey, put together a, like an idea board. And I put together the biggest idea board I think I've ever seen in my life. And he was like, perfect. I know exactly what to do. And I mean,
nice.
He turned it out so fast because it was like, I'm giving him this. I'm like, good luck. And he's like, no, this is exactly what I want. I know exactly what your vision is. So it was perfect. And that was,
I love it.
It was kind of from there. Everything just.
Mark's the best. Yeah. He's like, I've worked with him before. He actually did our business cards.
Awesome. Oh, okay. Yeah. He is so talented. He's doing some for us right now. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I'll show you that.
Very cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Those are awesome.
Yeah. It's wonderful. He's just been so nice to us and we love working with them. They're
And the
letterpress. This is just a plug for Prickly Pear.
No, it totally is. I love them. And they're doing so well and they're so successful and it just shows. So it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm curious to know a little bit more about like what you guys are anticipating for the future. Are you hoping to become like a commercial box? Like, I don't know what you're looking to do, just brick and mortar. Are you hoping to have, I don't know, what kind of business that has?
I would say I haven't thought a lot. I mean, I think it would be really awesome to have a showroom and be able to make furniture and have design my own stuff. And it's my own ideas, my own creativity, to have a showroom and that kind of thing. But you know, the biggest thing for me was just wanting to make it possible for people to have the things that they see when they see something on Pinterest, they see something on Instagram, they see something and they're like, I don't necessarily have the skill, the tools, the ability to build it, but I want it. Or I want something like it.
Yeah.
And I can come in and do that for them. I can offer that to them and give them that ability. But I would, you know, I would love to be able to have it be something where I'm, you know, constantly just churning out furniture for people. And I, you know, if it was long term and we could get to that point, I would love to have a business model where we have a showroom, you can come in and we can have all these great things that we offer. But then if you want something custom, that's something that we can also give you as well. And that's kind of the big thing. Right now with, you know, we don't do a lot of, you know, like production of the same thing over and over again, just because kind of keeping it, having inventory for it is kind of difficult. So, I know that, you know, recently we've started, working with local trade and, they're really awesome. And he, you know, stages homes and he's got that showroom now in Phoenix.
Is he, so, what's his name?
It's Tony Williams, and his company is Local Trade.
Okay.
So they are
Why does
awesome.
That sound so familiar?
He works with Tiffany and he works
He's
got his hands in a ton of places. Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. And we've heard of him. Yeah, yeah, I'm definitely following him. So Tony needs to come on here. That's just a really nice verbal guy. Contract now.
And we've started working with them and putting some of the pieces whenever I've had a few things that I want to build this. So I just built it and then I was like, hey, you want to show it? And he's like, yeah. And I sent him pictures and he's, let's do it. And I'll, you know, and then
that's
they're at
dope.
The showroom and they're that way. They're there. They're available for someone to purchase and things like that. But
it's a cool little
keeps it from me having to have an inventory space that I don't really have.
He's doing a cool
have,
little like platform thing for local artists. And that's really a cool thing that he's doing. You tell him that I'm looking for him. You tell him the next time you see him that I'm looking for him.
I will. Sure,
that's really cool. Cause I'm very like my ideas start to flow a little bit more once I understand something a little bit on a bigger picture.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what he's doing is just something that's hidden, but it's also, it's a very good thing that is going around. And I've definitely, I'm definitely going to try and help him in some sort of way.
And he is getting, you know, he's been doing some shows, even some like craft shows and, you know, vendor fairs and things like that. He just did one, man, recently, like in April, he did one that was out at Town and Country and it was a pretty big success. So that was pretty awesome.
That's cool.
And he's getting into a lot of different things. So yeah, he would be an awesome guy to chat with. He's very nice. So
I was going to say, I'm going to introduce you also to Scott Woodson or Scott from Citizen HD.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen him around. So
yeah, he's a cool, I don't know if you've ever met him, but he's he's really dope. And you'd love to like, cause he just bought a truck too, a delivery truck, like an old school delivery truck. And he's like, that's how he's getting his wood and like using us as like official market spot. And I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I think really I talked cool. to, I said, I wish that I had like some kind of old truck that I could restore and then brand it with Iron and Oak. And then that's how I'll deliver furniture.
Yeah.
So whenever I go to your house, it's like I pull up and it's like, whoa, what a cool truck. Yeah. It's like,
Yeah. I hope he does something like, I don't know if he's planning on doing some kind of cutout burn or paint on his truck, but that'd be dope if he did like get a good little vinyl wrap too or something like that all the way around.
Yeah.
I think he would have, I'm just talking out loud right here, Scott, just helping you out here. But any other thing that you guys have coming up in the future, like an event that you guys are excited for? Because I know you guys said you were at Phoenix Flea.
Yeah.
We were there too, but I don't know why we missed you guys.
I don't know.
Where were you guys set up at?
We were at the day one.
Yeah, we didn't do the after dark.
We were next to M&A Naturals and Pure Life.
Yeah, Pure Life Jewelry.
It was like
we definitely went to M&A.
We went to them at the Francis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're awesome
it's
too.
It's so big. Sometimes
it's gigantic. It's huge. And they keep tucking some people away in like certain like they make it's these huge, weird routes. So it's like some people are tucked away and I'm like, "Oh, I can't."
Yeah, but that was awesome for us, and that was huge just exposure-wise and things like that, and that kind of allows us to do some of the more, like, small production stuff, like making cutting boards, making, like, planters, phone holders.
Nice.
I think, you know, we want to do, now that we've done it, I want to do other things like make some lamps, make some more decor items, things like that, like valet trays, stuff like that. So
yeah, you'll definitely like Scott. That's kind of his style is the decor and the trays and things, cutting boards.
That stuff is... So
we like those.
We're hoping when that one, I think, you know, they'll do I don't know. They did that after dark. That was kind of a surprise, which we didn't end up doing because we were gone, vacation. But we would have loved to had we kind of been available. But so, you know, when that one comes, but we have Pinners Conference coming up in November. We're trying to figure out with like they do the junk in the trunk market. We want to do that pretty soon if we can. I don't know. They have that one coming up in September, but we're just kind of keeping our eyes peeled for because that could kind of allow us to do more like furniture and things like that.
Yeah, you guys should definitely look for more like furniture. Yeah. The Junk in the Trunk Vintage Market, that one's a really good one.
Yeah.
Don't let that name hesitate you. They take on a lot of handcrafted stuff. And so that's...
They think that'd be a big one.
That would
be
a good market for the big custom furniture pieces, the benches, you know, the furniture, whereas Phoenix Flea's a lot, you know, smaller. We want the smaller items.
Smaller stuff like that.
Yeah, so. Junk in the Trunk is more the larger items for sure. You guys should definitely check that out because they're super sweet. Those girls that run it are super nice. They're great moms.
Yeah, we're hoping to, I've been trying to just been keeping my eyes peeled for when they start maybe accepting applications for that one in September. I don't know, you know, or I might just reach out if it kind of gets a little too close, but I would love to do that one if I can.
For sure.
Obviously some more like that, but the Pinners Conference is going to be a big one for
us.
Oh yeah. So that's going to be a huge show for us.
I wish you nothing
so.
But the best.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about that. So.
Yeah. We're excited.
Yeah. So, but other than that, I mean, just going to keep trying to keep pushing the envelope to get more exposure so we can get more people kind of knock on the door, you know, trying to, you know, get us to build stuff for them because that's, you know, kind of our big thing. So kind of feels like every time we build something, somebody comes, oh, that's great. I've been wanting something like that. Here's this idea. You know, I did a kitchen island and then somebody reached right out and said, hey, I want a kitchen island. Nice. I did a bench. Hey, I want a bench. I did some floating shelves. Hey, let's do some shelves. Or
That's what we're going to talk to you about after this.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Love the floating shelves.
Yeah, the floating shelves are always...
We have so many of them in our house. It's unbelievable.
It's just because it's like we loved it so much and that was the plan for here is to get at least one set of floating shelves just to kind of match the butcher block.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And just to like really show off the space that we have in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It really opens the space up a lot. We're big floating shelf people for sure. That's kind of how, it's kind of how a lot of that came in. It's like, I think that was the next thing I built after I built the picking table was like floating shelves. And then you go from there.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of things that you guys have just really opened up and been honest about. So that, like, I really thank you for doing that. And we hope that you guys have so much fun for those events.
Yeah.
Brittany's time for the corner. She's got a question.
They're a rapid fire. How am I supposed to have any questions?
I'm sure you could come up with one.
Nope, sorry, you took my question.
Oh, really? Yeah. I did? I'm so sorry.
Aww. I get one chance to ask a question, and when you ask 50 of them, the odds of you asking my question are very high.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I was trying to like come up with a new concept to like try to really ease in to the podcast. That's the whole point of it.
Is it easy
in the podcast?
That's gonna be fun.
You do you.
Thank you. I'm just curious now too that I'm talking to you because every woodworker has their own like set of tools that they like to use. Are you a craftsman? Are you a Black and Decker kind of guy?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I use a lot of Ryobi stuff. Always have.
Yeah.
But I'm really getting into Bosch. The Bosch products are really, really incredible because. No knock on Ryobi at all, but their sanders are not really all that great, especially when you're using them frequently.
Yeah.
And so I had gone through like two or maybe three, and I looked at her and said, I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to buy any more cheap sanders. I want to do something more high end than that for this. And so I was doing research and I got a Bosch sander, and that was like, oh yeah, here we go. Okay.
This is the good stuff right here.
Like, as far as like drills and stuff, I always have like Ryobi drills, impact drivers. I use a Ryobi, miter saw right now, but I, am hoping to switch that into a Bosch cause there's a, woodworking geek out here, but like the Bosch has the ability to do, to have it so you can actually have it be a sliding compound miter.
It
doesn't take up as much space because it uses like a radial arm system. So it kind of works as like an actual arm versus like a sliding bar.
Okay.
So it takes up less footprint, and that's like what I want to do. So that's going to be probably one of my big purchases. And then another Grizzly is another really good, commercial product that like they work really well and they do a great job, but they're not going to kill you. obviously all woodworkers, we all wish that we could use Festool and SawStop and Powermatic as every tool that we have in our shop.
Yeah.
But I'd have, $50,000 in tools and I'd be $50,000 in the hole, So
we better get some orders quick because going to waste.
Slowly but surely. So yeah, those are kind of my go-to. It's kind of goes along with that. Obviously the better your tool, the easier it is on you, but you can make anything work. My dad's always told me that. He's like, the right tool is always the best tool, but if you don't have the right tool, there's always a tool that will do what you need.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah.
That's a good little quote.
Yeah, so,
Put it in the video. what's been your favorite, project that you've done so far, your proudest moment, achievement?
Man, I don't know. I'm trying to think about what... It was, I just finished up that like dining bench and it was a live edge slab, and I did kind of a more farmhouse style top or not, or base, and that matched a live edge style dining room table. So that probably altogether was what was really cool, because the bench was more traditional, but the top for the table, they were like, we want to do a live edge table. And I was like, okay, but that could be like $5,000. And they're like, oh. And I was like, so why don't you let me try this? And I did a technique where I actually have a live edge on the sides of it, and it flows together. So it looks like a live edge, but it's not actually, it's only live edge on the sides.
Yeah.
So it's, and that was really neat because it was so, I had never seen it, necessarily done or anything like that. And I said, and that's so much, it was so much cheaper to do it that way, because it was, I got plywood for the, for the actual inside of it. And then, and then matching wood that will match that. And it came out pretty good. I mean, considering what it had to be, they were really happy with it and they loved it. So, and I was really proud to do it, because it was something I really had to stretch my thought process about, like, okay, I you know, this is the buy-in point. You say you can do it for cheaper. Yeah. Let's find out if you can. So, yeah.
You say you can do it. Now's money where your mouth is. Yeah. Wow. That's, man, that's a good one to tell, because that's a good story to like, you put all your cards in that deck right there.
Yeah.
And I would love to see some photos of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we're done here. I think I'm running out of questions, but I think that's kind of a good stopping point, because it's a good story to end on. And I thoroughly thank you for coming in. And it's been a lot of fun to chatting with you and just getting to know you guys a little bit more. We're going to talk about over there in the kitchen.
That's awesome.
But yeah, before we go, we usually kick it off to you guys to let everyone know where they can find you online. So this is your chance to plug away all the Facebook, Instagrams, and then any events coming up.
Social Perfect. Media.
Oh gosh. So you can find us on Instagram at @IronOakAZ.
Yes.
Check out our social media. Send us a message. Our email is also on there. The website is ironoakaz.com. And then the email to email Dan is dan@ironoakaz.com.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So it's all the same, so hopefully you can't forget it.
We tried to have good brand synergy there. So
Brand synergy is always good.
Yeah.
And then the next big event that you guys are going to be at?
The next big one is Pinner's Conference.
Pinner's Conference.
Yep, November 9th and 10th.
Mm-hmm. Look out for that.
Come see us.
Yes. Good luck, guys. I hope you nothing but the best of luck, and we appreciate it, and hopefully we can do some business too ourselves.
Yeah.
Ooh la la.
Thank you so much.
And again, you guys can find us at findingarizonapodcast.com. All our social media is under Finding Arizona Podcast, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And with that, we say goodbye to you guys, and goodbye to all of you out there. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.